you'll speak every day, cover, practice the plumb line, and do this every day, you have a very powerful weapon. But if you don't utilize that weapon, if you don't utilize your mouth, instead agree with the enemy, it's amazing. You can speak 10,000 words of the Bible. You know, it takes a long time sometimes for the kingdom to manifest, but just a couple of words of agreement with the enemy is all he needs to come roaring in. So you have to be really careful with your mouth and what you do, what you say, especially in times of emotional weakness, because the enemy, you're going to feel things, but you got to watch what comes out of your mouth when you feel that. You don't want to be agreeing with the enemy or his atmospheres. You don't want to agree with that because that's just going to cause a chain reaction. You have to have the word of God that replaces that. You put that in your mouth and you keep it in your mouth. Amen? If you'll do that every day, you'll keep a lot of the warfare of the enemy out. Because especially in God's calling you to greater lands, you have to graduate from where you're at. If you don't graduate from where you're at, how can he give you something bigger if what's presently beating you every day? Don't ask for God for something bigger, because that's only because, you know, what does it say? Bigger levels comes bigger devils. It's kind of true. So you got to win the battles that you're facing now. If you win those battles, then God will graduate you and you'll take on larger things. The enemy will be more fierce, but you'll be stronger to handle it. Amen. So the idea is you have to grow, develop. And it's not what I'm preaching on today, but I'm just encouraging you to always, listen, you have 24 hours a day. It's not natural. You're not going to wake up wanting to do this. If you're waiting to feel like this, you're not going to do that very often. You have to decide. It's like working out. There are going to be times you want to work out, and there's going to be times you don't want to work out. I don't really start feeling anything until I'm about midway up the mountain, then the feelings will kick in. But I've done it so long, I don't really care, because I know the feelings are going to shift. This amazing thing about feelings, they'll change very fast. You can be feel so far from God, you make your ascent up into the mountain, and you'll be very close to him. So emotions have nothing to do with the equation. It's where you are in him. You've got to transport out of where you are in this earthly system of familiarity, and you got to get out of that. It's a jurisdictional shift. It's really that. I mean, God is as close to you as you want to be. Sometimes it's just a jurisdictional step over. And when you learn to step over, you step out. That's what we're learning to do as well. Praying in the face of God is learning how to, once I learned to pray in the face of God, whoo, that changed everything. Because I don't have to pray in circumstance. I don't have to pray now in time. I can pray in a finished realm. So as soon as I get past the throne of grace, we're off and running the face of God. I step out forward. Once you learn to do this, your whole prayer time will change drastically, because you'll be in front of every battle. You won't be in the middle of it. It doesn't matter what you're facing. You'll step out of it and pray from a finished position. And it's an amazing place to be. And eventually what will happen is that position you're in will command where you are to follow. Amen. But if you're not in front, there's nothing to follow. See, the signs, miracles, wonders follow those who believe. Not those who go to church, those who believe. But you have to come to church to learn how to believe. You should come to church to learn how to believe. But they'll follow you. You got to get out in front. You go to Psalms 24. We're going to teach this whole chapter. By the end of this day, if you don't know what's in Psalm 24, you'll understand Psalm 24. Psalm 24 is an end time psalm. David, he moved in the face of God. He moved in the glory. So he constantly, in his generation and in the generations to come, he could move. In fact, he operated in a kind of righteousness. So he knew how to get out from even the realm he was in. But this was an end time psalm. There's no doubt about it. And there's so much in this. We actually built this constitution, around it. This constitution is all around Psalm 24. It's a very, very powerful, very in-depth psalm. There's so much here. You really want to see this when you pray. You want to understand this. I have this whole psalm is like a imagery to me. Every time I pray in the mountain, I'm in this psalm every time I'm here. Because there's so much about even your ascent into God, he addresses that here. So we're going to get into this. First thing he begins to speak is, the earth is the Lord. He's establishing the fullness thereof. the world and they that dwell in. He founded upon the seas, established upon the flood. So he's saying, even though the devil took the legal lease of the earth, it still all belongs to the Lord. The devil has a lease to operate in this earth. There's only certain things he can do. He can't just override all of creation. If he could, he would have killed everybody already. He can't. There's only certain things he's limited to. But the earth belongs to the Lord. The Lord made it. The Lord's coming back. And the reason he's saying that is the Lord's coming back. In his second return, he's coming back for the earth. He's coming back for all of it. He's the inheritor of the earth. He's an inheritor of the nations. He said, I'll set my king on the holy hill of Zion. Ask of me the nations in the uttermost parts of the earth. In his ascension, in the right hand of God, the Father legally reassigned all the earth and the nations to him. That psalm was about, come in his ascension to the throne, ask of me, and the Father would reassign. And the reason the Father reassigned, because he's reassigning it to man again. Man lost it, man had to recover it. So God came as a man, he died as a man. In his resurrection, the Father then reassigned it, because the Father's always working his purpose. He never stops working his purpose. He's going to work his purpose with Adam. Adam's going to live out the 1,000 years. He failed in the day. He failed his first. He died at 935 years. The second Adam is going to fill, and he's going to live out the 1,000-year millennial reign with his bride. Amen, which is us. He's going to live it out, and then he's going to throw the devil out of the garden, because the devil will be loosed after 1,000 years. Believe it or not, he'll deceive the nations again. But this time the Lord will step in and throw him out forever. But he'll get bound for 1,000 years, but he's going to get loosed after 1,000 years. We'll be ruling and reigning with him. The devil will get loosed, but the Lord will step in and throw him out. He's just talking about the Lord's design is to come back and retrieve the earth, everything. It all belongs to him, and he's coming back for it. He's not letting anything go. Amen? So now he's going to be talking about our generation. He's going to get very in-depth about the time you and I live in. And I mean, this precision of time is we're on it right now. There is such a convergence right now of heaven and earth. No matter what you're looking at on the screens, there is a convergence. God has everything set, ready to go. And there is something explosive that will absolutely happen in our generation. Without a doubt. And it's all embedded in this psalm. The first thing he speaks of here, he says, verse 3, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? He's going to speak of a chosen generation here. A generation that's going to ascend the hill of the Lord. Be called back into the mountain of God. He said, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who will stand in his holy place? There's going to be a dichotomy here in verse 4 and 5, which is just an amazing scripture. I remember when he revealed this to me, it was amazing. But let's look at verse 5. Here is the prerequisite. And let me read verse 4 and 5 to you. He said, he that hath clean hands, pure heart, not lifted his soul to vanity or idolatry, nor sworn deceitfully, he will receive the blessing of the Lord and the righteousness from the God of his salvation. So, if you think about this a minute, he says, listen, who's going to ascend the hill, Lord? You got to qualify in your ascension. But whoever qualifies, there's going to be a generation that qualifies in their ascension. And that generation is going to receive the blessing of the Lord. And if you really understand what that blessing is, what the Lord's actually sending out from the mountain of God, he's sending out the crowning stone in front of himself, which we'll get in front of that. But there is a blessing for our generation that no other generation had access to, that no other generation could get. It belonged to us. And he's calling a generation up into the mountain, but he has a prerequisite. He said, you're going to have clean hands and a pure heart and not lifted up in idolatry. And then what will happen? He'll receive the blessing and righteousness. I was like, wait a minute. You said I have to have clean hands, but then I'm going to receive righteousness. You see the dichotomy there? Who's going to sin? I got to be clean to be clean. I got to be righteous to be righteous. I'm like, how do I be righteous to be righteous? How do I be clean to be clean? Well, you can look at this two different ways. I mean, if you want to look at this like, okay, I got to have clean hands, pure heart. I'm going to go perfect myself so I can climb the mountain of God. Well, you're going to be at that a very long time. And Paul already tried that. When you go read Philippians 3, he did everything perfectly. He said, I kept the law perfect. He says, I was a Hebrew of Hebrews, a Pharisee of Pharisees, concerning the law, perfect. He caught every jot and tittle. Do you understand the discipline that it would take to keep the law? There is so many, you couldn't even go outside on a Sabbath day and lift up a piece of firewood. There were so many things. They would stone you for that. They would stone you for things that we do now under grace. I mean, it was so rigid in that time. And there was a reason for that. I don't want to get into all that. But if that is your approach to clean hands and pure heart, it's the wrong approach, because Paul said, I count all this but dung that I may win Christ. And he said something so powerful, and we use this all the time in the mountain, to be found in him, not having mine own righteousness. So it doesn't matter how perfect any one of us Mary Poppin people in here, we're going to get. No matter how perfect we're going to get, it's not going to be enough to get up that mountain. You're not ever going to be perfect enough in your own righteousness. When you hear us speak about exchange, the clean hands and the pure heart are not your clean hands and not your pure heart. It's his clean hands. It's his pure heart. It's his standing he offers freely to you in that mountain of exchange. He'll offer you his righteousness. The Bible calls it, freely he's given it, freely received. He freely gives you his standing. He gives you, the Bible says, you are the righteousness of God in Christ. Say, the righteousness. Doesn't matter how you feel. Doesn't matter what you've been through. Doesn't matter how many mistakes you made. It's not going to be appropriated by all your good works, all your toil, all your disciplines, but it must be appropriated. It's not automatic. Legally, it's automatic. But you're standing in that mountain. You have to be clothed with clean hands, pure heart. And your soul can't be lifted out of idolatry, which means you're going to have to exchange who you are for who he is. And until you learn to do that, you can't qualify for what he's saying that's going to get the blessing of this generation. There is a blessing in the right hand of God. There is a blessing in the mountain of God that's reserved for our generation. And it has to be by clean hands and a pure heart. But it can't be our clean hands and a pure heart. It's got to be his. Even Joshua, the high priest, they said, take away the filthy garments from him. Gave him a brand new clothing, put a clean white turban upon him, and he was the high priest. You know, the high priest, they put a rope around him, sent him once a year into the Holy of Holies. And they'd send him up in there to make sacrifice for the people. They'd say, why'd they put the rope on him? Well, which one are you going to go and get him if he dies? Because the holiness of God is so extreme that if he did anything wrong, he would die. You couldn't even walk in that place unsanctioned. But now we have free access. The reason is because you're not going in yourself, you're going in Christ. So we learn to appropriate. And the way we did that is we started agreeing with what he said. That's the first thing. Now, when you have fallen, messed up, had shortcomings, had failures, when you sin, and then God saying, come to me, come boldly to the throne of grace. You might find help in time of need. When you're coming to him feeling all that, you have to learn to override your mistakes. And the only thing that's going to override your mistakes is faith. To believe that he will clothe you in himself by grace. And it has to be done by faith. There is a repentance involved. There's no doubt about it. You have to repent. But you can't just find this by going to the altar every day. Repent. I repent. I repent. I repent. That's phase one. It's a necessity to do that, but you have to be clothed after repentance. Some people just stop with repentance. If you stop with repentance and you don't get clothed, you're just going to be sitting there. You might have got forgiven, but it's not enough for us to be forgiven. We got to get clothed after that. The day I learned to do this when I blew it, and, you know, I would, back in those days, blow it a lot. And I would blow it, and God said, come to me. I'm like, there's no way I'm coming to you today. It's like, you last 5 minutes, I'm out of here, you know, because you feel so awful about yourself. You're disgusted. How many of you have been disgusted at your own stuff? And it's like, I'm so disgusted. There's no way I'm coming to you today. Well, I'll see you when I feel better. And God said, bring all that to me. I remember the day he told me, he said, bring all that to me. I'm like, I don't want to. I'm going to go hide. When I feel better, I'll come back. Because that's what we do when we blow. We want to go hide, right? But he said, bring that. And when he taught me how to do it, I remember I brought that in. And then he said, agree with this. He started teaching me. I want you to agree. You're the righteous. I want you to see yourself as the prodigal. Did the prodigal, he wanted to run, but who did the running? I ran to him. I want you to see me running to you in all your fallen state. I want you to see that the garments of Joshua the high priest were taken away. And I'm put on new garments. I want you to see my robe right now. I'm like, I'm not worthy of your robe. He goes, that's the problem. You are worthy. But you got to shift your belief system to know you're worthy. To know I'm worthy to be clothed because he made me worthy. Freely he has given. Freely you receive. There was a receiving. You don't receive just because you feel like it. You receive because it's available and you need it. You can't stay in your own mistakes. You can't wallow in your own mistakes. You'll never get anywhere if you're locked down in your own past or your own mistakes. You'll never move any further in the mountain. You'll get stopped out every time you try to go up because you'll run into yourself. And if you run into yourself and you don't make the exchange, then your mistakes are going to only get you to level one. That's it. You'll never get past level one. The only way to get past level one is appropriate. Stand in the righteousness. And I remember I would do that. And everything in me would like, I am so uncomfortable. I'm like, I'm just doing this, God. I can't believe you're having me do this right now. I don't even want to be in here. And he would say, stay with it. And I kept doing it, speaking. And I'm dealing with all my stuff. I'm crying inside. I'm weeping. And he's saying, speak my word. I'm like, I don't want to do this. But I would stay with it. I kept doing it. And then all of a sudden, it broke one day. All my stuff broke off of me. And suddenly, he clothed me in his right hand. I felt so pure, so clean, so glorious. I felt so clothed, so accepted. He goes, that's the clean hands. That's the pure heart I'm looking for. The one that's appropriate my standing, not your standing. As your standing won't get up very far, but his will get you all the way. So now we go in and we just see that robe and we embrace it and put it on. Once you learn to do that and your faith overcomes, well, what happens is every time you make a mistake, it won't keep you away from God anymore. You'll run to him because you'll know there's a robe there for you. There's a standing. There's a clean white turban and there's new shoes. There's a signet ring. He's reclothing you, and he's really good at it. And he loves you. And you'll realize that the Lord is there as your high priest. He's your mediator. He's there to help you. He's helping you into greater levels of God. He's helping you graduate. He's helping you realize that he's very non-judgmental. I've been judged by the Lord a couple of times, but it takes a lot. I mean, he has a heavy hand, but it's really out of love. But most of the time, I'll tell you right now, especially when you first come into him, he's so full of love. He's so full of compassion. He doesn't judge you. You judge yourself 100 times more than he'll ever judge you. Because he doesn't see you the way you see you. He sees you through his own lens of being already perfected you. You see you through your fallen lens of imperfection. You see the difference? So once we appropriate those clean hands, pure heart, what you're really doing is stepping into him. Amen? We do this every Tuesday. I do the same thing all the time. Always, I never, ever miss that step. Never. Why am I doing that? Because I'm going and stepping into him. Because I realize I move a lot better when I'm in him. And I don't move so well. If I can't get out of myself, I'm not going to move up into heavenly things. But in him, I'm very free to move. When you learn this, it takes faith. You will have to do this. And a lot of people like to hear deep things. They just don't like doing. They don't like the doing factor. I don't want to do that. But you don't have any idea the blessing. It's like working out. You got to put some effort in. But once you do, he'll meet your faith. And once you see him come through, and once you realize that faith that you develop is always with you, the glorious thing, it doesn't go away. It's like a muscle you've created, and now you have something that every time you come to God, that faith you develop, you put time into, it's there. It's going to move you through. And I realized back in the day, you know, there was extraordinary amount of warfare, and he didn't just remove it so I could come in. He taught me how to move it out. He taught me how to go and exchange beyond what I felt, what I saw, what I was experiencing, I just drive right through it. And then once I learned to do that, the Lord said, I needed your faith to come to a place that no matter what the enemy was doing to you, you could move through that veil. That no matter what he would bring, no matter what kind of assignment he was bringing, you could step right through. One time there was a friend of mine, this is something happening, and there was a big time betrayal that took place. And it really hurt me to the level that the way I would like it, it would be like when the church split, that level of hurt. But anyway, I remember after that, and all that same spirit of trespass was there. And he'd visit every once in a while. Boy, he showed up and just took somebody very, very close to Anna and me. It was just a backward circumstance. And the Lord said, now bring that to me. And in 3 days, took me 3 days, that whole trespass was broken off of my heart. No pain, no sorrow. 9 months before, 3 days after. That's the power of this realm. If you're going to walk with God, you're going to have to deal with the enemy. He's not fair. He's ruthless. He'll do things to your life, to your family, to your mind, to your emotion. You have to learn to overcome God's way. When you learn to overcome, that's when God will start trusting you with more things. Amen? Trusting you with big time promises. So who shall sin? So the clean hands, we appropriate, we step in. We have a whole series on the throne of grace, if you haven't learned to do this. And we appropriate. Now that person that meets that, what's the qualification? You will never have clean enough hands in yourself. You'll never have a pure enough heart to get to the prize. Paul couldn't do it keeping law. You're not going to do it. That was the whole example Paul left. He goes, it's not my rights. It's his. You've got to appropriate his. You've got to have to stand in him. Amen. And when you do, glory to God, then what does it say? It said he will receive the blessing. There is a blessing. I know what that blessing is. I believe with all my heart that blessing is the crowning glory that come out of heaven that precedes the Lord's return. And it said, and righteousness. So this righteousness is different than the righteousness you appropriated on your way up. This is the righteousness coming with you on the way down. There's a blessing coming with you. This is manifested glory. This is the manifest glory that everyone's looking for. There is a generation that will walk in the manifest glory. This is a manifested righteousness coming back with you. Not the one you got on the way up. It's the one coming down. Amen. It's a manifested glory of being with you in the earth. Exceeding great living shield around you in the earth. God will be with you in the earth. I know God's with us all. I get that part, but I'm talking manifest with you. There's a difference between God manifest with you. God manifests with you. When God's with you like that, nobody can mess with you. They can mess with you, but they'll fail. Because when God starts walking with you in manifested glory, he's with you. He'll fight every battle for you. You cannot destroy a person like that. Impossible. That's like Moses. I mean, he was with him like that. God will be with you. Ooh, with the Lord like that. I mean, Paul said, I can crucify you. And the Lord said, you have no power over me at all. I said, the Father give it to you. He goes, do you not know presently I could call upon my Father, 12 legions, 72,000. He can deliver me on the spot. He already did. They took him to the brow of the hill. Who does that? When a whole city takes you to throw you off the brow of the hill and you disappear. You walk right through the crowd. Where did he go? We're trying to throw him off the hill. Where is he at? I mean, how are you going to hurt somebody like that? That's power. That's manifest glory. The Lord's not coming like he first came the first time. He came as a suffering servant. He's coming back as the reigning king. He's coming back with fire in his eyes. He's coming back for his inheritance. He's coming back to judge. He came first to pay the price for evil. He's coming back the second time to judge it. Look at verse 6. This is the generation that seeks, King James actually doesn't get this right, but most of your translations will, said that seeks thy face, or seeks the face of the God of Jacob. This is the face of God revelation to roll out. You say, seek thy face, the face of the God of Jacob. He was very specific to say that. The reason he was specific to say that, because there's a generation of Jacobs that are going to be turned into Israel. There's a generation that's going to come up one way and come down another way. There's a generation that'll keep his word. I won't let go till you bless me. Doesn't matter who you are as Jacob. It matters who you are when God reassigns you and gives you a new name, a new identity. Once he gives you a new name, once he declares a new identity, that is who you are. That's who God will multiply. Calling the generations of Jacob up into the mountain. He said, I will not stop till you bless me. I'm not letting go. He said, let go. He said, no. What is the blessing? There's a lot. The blessing is not just financial. The blessing is a shift in who you are. It's a transformation of your identity. It's a transformation. He created a name out of himself. The Israel was never spoken before that day. He said, your name is Israel. It's a prince. Even that was the face of God encounter. You have reigned with me. He changes because a generation of kings. It's really a generation that's come before the face of God. They're going to come in. It's just mere Christians are coming out as reigning kings. When you come out from that realm, you're coming to meet the King of Kings. You're coming out commissioned by the King. The commissioning of the kings are going to happen there because that's where it's at. The commissioning of the kings are coming out. He's calling even a priesthood. It's a royal priesthood. He's calling a priesthood up. He's calling you just as you are. He's calling the Jacobs up. You got to realize it doesn't matter if you're a Jacob. It doesn't matter what happened. I won't let go. Doesn't matter how many problems you've had, how many times you missed it. I won't let go. There's one thing I will not let go. It doesn't matter how many devils show up. They cannot take this word in my heart. They will not have it. I already know this word is coming to the finish line. Because I stand in the finish line. It doesn't matter what I see, feel, or hear. This word will manifest in the earth. But what happens there is what we want. We want to go in with expectation, clean hands, pure, but I'm going in there for an exchange. I'm going in there for an identity. In reality, if you really want to know, this is a deep call of the deep. He already did this for you. Paul called it. He said he made you to sit down with him. He already made you a king. You're not just sitting on a wooden stool with him. You're sitting in his throne. You can't sit in his throne without being an heir. He already made you an heir. But you got to get up there and make that happen. And so when you're going up there, you're going before the face of the God of Jacob. And say, I'm not letting go. So I return. You change. See, there is a transformation. A manifested glory, a blessing of our generation. You hear people talk about the manifested sons. That's not going to fall on people. There is people got to go up and get that. There's only one place that lives. And it lives there, and they will come out to reveal the King of Kings. There's a chosen people that are going to come out to reveal the glory of the King of Kings. His church will be crowned by him who has the key. Of the house of David, and they will reveal his glory before his return. And he's sending forth the crowning stone. That's the blessing of our generation. I got a new identity. I'm not going to get locked down with my past. There's somebody needs to hear this. You can't be locked down by your past. The enemy will try to chain you to who you were. If there's anybody who should have been chained, it's me. Trust me. I refuse those chains. I bring them into the Jordan, and I let the Lord shatter those. Call the axe of light down upon the chain. Loose that identity. Why? Because I see another identity in the right hand of God. I see something else. So I'm not going to be bound by who I was. I see something else that's promised to a generation. Somebody's going to get this. Somebody's going before the face of the God of Jacob. Somebody's going to get a Jacob transformation. Going to get a new name. Going to get a new identity. Going to get a commission for the crown, commission for the glory. They're going to be sent forth out of Zion. That's what our house is about. It doesn't matter what you see. I used to be in the buildings. I'm into building a house made without hands right now. Here goes another building. We'll write a check for it. I'm going to tell you this. I'll prophesy this right now. We will build a new facility. We won't have to receive a single offering for it. The king's anointing will pay for it. It'll be written by a king's check. That's when we get our new building. I'm in it. We're going to win it. Passing before the face of the God of Jacob. That's what we do on Tuesdays. Listen to me. When you're here praying and you see us going up and going to sit down or going to step into the mountain of transfiguration, we're stepping into what belongs to us. We're going to sit down. Why? Because I'm keeping the word. We're crowned there already. We've already sat down. That's already the Father's will. I don't struggle with that. I already know I've been crowned there. I already know I've been made to sit down. That will's already been done. I'm just going to possess it. So I can be a possessor of heaven, possessor of the earth, possessor of the gate of the enemy. We've been stamping on some pretty serious gates lately. Not in this house, but God's assigned us to stamp on a big gate. The biggest stronghold in the earth today. We're stepping our feet right down in there because I've been called to do it. And I step on it because I've been called. Because I know what God said. I know what he's doing. Praise God. But anyway, there's a blessing. There's a new identity for you. There's a shift. There's a transformation. There is a day you'll come in there one way. And you'll come out with a manifest glory on you. And you'll come out. If you ever look at the Lord's revivals, back up a couple chapters every time. You'll see he just come down from the mountain. Every time the Lord did something extreme, he just came out of the mountain. He was with his Father. And he was full of the glory. Very powerful. So this is the generation that passed before the face. It's a major face of God revelation that will roll out in this generation. Rolling out Psalm 24. The Psalm 24 inheritance. The rolling out of the blessing. He's bringing out the crowning stone. He's bringing out Zechariah 4's crown. And that's the stone Daniel saw that's going to break the feet of clay. It's going to shatter every nation. The seven spirits of God, there's not a single nation or entity in the earth will stand before him when he comes out in the fierceness of his power. The Lord's going to send him out in front of him to prepare his arrival. Now, after he says this, he's telling you, this is for you. This is how you're going to get it. This is for you. He's saying this. Now he's going to extend an invitation to you. It's the invitation, and we'll close with this. Lift up your gates. Be you lifted up. You everlasting doors. You're a gate and you're a door. You are the gate of heaven. You are the door. It's coming through. You got to know that. I think you just fall on me. Well, has it fallen on you yet? How many of you have been at this more than 30 years? Has it fallen yet? It's right there. Lift up your heads, O you gates, you everlasting doors. And the king of, how do I lift up? Exactly how he just told you to do it. Appropriate the clean hands, pure heart. Come into the face of the God of Jacob. Come stand in the Father's face and do it like Jacob and don't let go till he gives you the new name. To give you the new identity, till he makes you a king. There's a difference. See, when God makes you a king, you come back with something. That's what we're after. See, our wisdom hitherto, here's where all my mistakes were made, I'm going to tell myself. Our wisdom hitherto was heavenly. Our wisdom in this church was learning how to go up and down, up and down. It wasn't yet wisdom here. It was wisdom for that realm. It was understanding to see that realm, ascend to that realm, make exchange, go up, come down, go up, come down. There's another wisdom. This is the one I'm after now. Because the mistakes I'd made is I'd go out and try to do some of this before the time. And I was stepping out. That wisdom was for that realm. Amen? It wasn't time for this realm yet. There's another wisdom for this realm. That's the one Solomon got. when you're before God. It's a wisdom to rule in the earth. It's a dominion to rule in the earth. It's a wisdom and a discernment like the Lord had in the earth. It's a very high level of discernment, seven eyes of discernment, where you can see everything, every enemy, everything, every assignment against you. You can sit in the rooms they conspire against you. That's what Elijah did. He could sit in the rooms and listen to the king. He could listen to all the kings and what they were about to do. And he'd go tell the king of Israel, hey, this is going to do this, this, and this. And say, how do you defeat a guy like that? He sits in the very chambers you talk in. There's a discernment to operate in the earth. When it's time for the appropriation of the glory, which we're moving very fast into, there is a discernment here. There is a wisdom. There is a glory here. There is a dominion here. If you step out before your time, you fall on your face. You can talk to me about falling on your face. I've done that many times. Well, how many? It doesn't matter. Many. Doesn't matter. Righteous man can fall seven. I've done more than seven, so praise God. You can fall seven seasons and get back up. Doesn't matter. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Let's finish this up. This is what David was seeing. One psalm, there's so much there. Lift up your head. See, you're lifting your spirit up. But your spirit's a gate. Lift up your head, oh you gates. Lift up. You everlasting doors. And here's promise. The King of Glory will come in. Where is he coming into? The realm you just left. He's going to move from that realm to this realm. And he's asking and he's telling you, you're going to have to lift up to get this. It's in a heavenly place. If the King of Glory is coming in, there's a generation that's going to get this. This is the blessing. Get after it. Get you some. Go for it. Lift up your head, oh you gates, you everlasting doors. See, you have to see this. When I go to pray, that's what I'm looking at. This psalm is what I'm looking at. When I'm in prayer, I am after something. I'm just not going to go sit in la-la land. I'm going up. I want to operate because I know there's a promise. I know what that promise is. I want to come back with what he, lift up your head, oh you gates. And the King of Glory will come in. He's going to send something back with us. And his name is the Seven Spirits of God. He's going to come back as the crowning stone. Who is this King of Glory? He's described two ways. The Lord mighty in battle. He's not going to send you with some sheep anointing. He's going to send you with a king anointing. You're coming back as a king. Fierce to rule. You're going to have that on you. A lion's going to be on you. You're going to go up as a lamb. You're coming back as a lion. He's going to do that. There's something there. You got to get that because you can't face this generation without it. These mountains of this generation are not going to fall with what's presently operating. Got to go get it. Then I love this next one. Lift up your head, oh, you gates, you everlasting. He says it again. King of Glory. Who is this King of Glory? He says, the Lord strong in battle. Now he says, he's the Lord of the heavenly host or the Lord of the angelic armies of heaven. He's telling you, this one will include the angelic armies of heaven. They're coming back with you. The lion's coming back. And that's why you hear me praying always in my descent. I'm always watching the angel. I'm looking for the chariots of fire, the horsemen too. I'm looking for the warriors, the breakers, the cherubim. He's got an angelic host called hornets. He said, I'll send my hornets before you. Nobody will stand before them. There are hornets. You ever seen a hornet? You ever see a hornet? What's your first thing you're going to do? Run. And nobody, I don't care who you are, going to stand in front of a hornet and go, come on, let's get it on. You're going to run. God has hornet angels. And when they show up in the presence of the enemies of the earth will run. Devils will run from you. There's warriors, there's breakers, there's hornets. There's cherubim that fill the atmosphere with glory. There's ministering flames, the Bible says. They sent the minister on behalf of heirs. Their whole class of angels, they don't even mess with babies. Baby Christians. They only stand with heirs. People who know they are. God sends them out to go stand with people who know who they are. God has protective angels to stand for people who never want to grow up. He has those. But he has heirs that do grow up. And those heirs have a class of angels called the ministering flames. And they surround and encompass you. They come down in the midst of the plumb line. They feel you're not alone. Say, you're not alone. He's bringing out the angelic armies of the throne. He's bringing out the lion. He's bringing out the crowning stone. Listen, there's a blessing of our generation. We're all over this. We'll not let go till he comes out. He's been with us as a lamb. He showed us that realm. He's coming and he's going to be upon us to rule and reign on the earth. That's next phase. That phase can start today. But meanwhile, we'll just stand in front of it all and we'll stand in the place that's already done. Agree, believe, see, and say until that realm comes and follows us. But I'm telling you, there's a day you'll go up in there, just like Moses did. His life was never the same when he went in that mountain and God caught him up in that mountain. And all that time he was up in the mountain. What, how long, 60 days up there? He was caught up in the glory and he came out of that mountain. That glory was upon him. It was so great that he had to veil himself. And he'd take the veil off in the presence of God. But when he'd come out, they had to veil him. The glory was upon his face. I'll close with this. I remember Jesse Plantis talking about when he went to heaven. And I mean, he spent so much time there. He had an incredible encounter. The second time the Lord, the first time he was making his case, I don't know why the Lord didn't answer this prayer. I have a problem because the Lord answered his prayer twice. First time he said, Lord, you showed yourself to Peter, showed yourself to Paul. How come you're not showing yourself to me? And he said they were in a hotel room and the doors of the balcony flew wide open. He was sleeping on his stomach and Jesus came, he was standing at the door and he said, this wind has filled the whole room. And he said, you asked to see me, turn around. Like that. He goes, no, because he came in his authority and he said it again. He goes, you asked to see me, turn around. And he wouldn't do it. And the Lord laughed and he goes, oh my God. He, the way he says, stoop. You asked to see the glory. You can't even turn around. So he kept going for it. And then all of a sudden he was caught up one day. He was sucked out of his body. And he was up in the heavenly places. Man, he was talking to them all and the Lord was there. And he spent a long time up there. And he came back into a service. He had no idea. And he walked in and he just got dressed. And he walked in the sanctuary and people started pointing at him. He goes, what are they pointing at me for? You know, and they were looking at him and going, look at that. He had glory. His whole being was lit up. His face, his head, his countenance. There was glory around him. And he said he got up, took the mic, and the whole place fell out in the glory of God. That kind of glory. Not the kind you have to convince somebody that, you know, you're an apostle. I'm an apostle. Like this one guy coming to me, he goes, I'm a pastor, apostle, and a prophet. I'm like, wow. I said, you sure you're not the other ones too? I mean, you should want to go ahead and add them all if we're at, while we're at it, you know. Huh? Yeah, gave me a card. Like, if anybody comes up and introduces you something like that and gives you a card, run. Because a true apostle doesn't have to go around telling people. You'll eventually see that upon them. You'll see it on their life. And they don't care to have that title. Honestly, by the time they actually get there, they don't care about titles. They would just be soon, what do you do? Son of God, heir, most high, I don't care, whatever. Anyway, that psalm is full of inheritance. It's full of promise. And God is inviting. He said it twice. Come. Lift up your head. He's inviting you. Come get it. But it's for a generation. And there are pre-qualifications to get there. But that's sitting there. I mean, that's like giving Roscoe a bone. Or telling him, let's go walk. I mean, when that dog believes we're going for a walk, Anna tries to sneak out and go walk with her little dogs. I'm like, you can't do that. In fact, if he can go on a walk, that's the kind of, you pick up that scent. If I start putting my walking shoes on, he is looking at me. And if he knows That dog will, I have to put him on a leash because he'll run straight out in the street and there's a car coming. He won't even look at it because he is just meant to be outside. But the scent he picks up, you've got to have that. Listen, if you're going to get something, you're going to have something inside you that wants it like that. You got to want that. Because God's going to give it to somebody. He's going to give it to a generation. You got to have that Jacob quality about you that no matter how many mistakes you made, you know God will bless you if you won't let go. I'm not determining this on who I was. I'm not even determining on who I am now. I'm determining it on your goodness, but I'm not going to let go. Even God said, let go. He was not wrestling with angels. He was wrestling with the incarnate Lord Jesus because God's the one that named him right there. Face to face. I've seen God face to face. He said it. He said, I'm not letting go. God said, let go. No. You have to have that Elisha thing. Elijah was testing him. You really want my mantle? He was testing him. Go. He would try to send him off. He goes, no, I'm, as the Lord of it, I'm not leaving you. He said, go. He told him 3 or 4 times, go. He was testing him. He goes, as the Lord living, I'm not leaving you. He got it. The last thing he said was this. Elijah said, if you see me when I'm lifted up from you, you're going to have to look into another realm, Elijah. You're going to have to see the heavenly host come down. You're going to have to see the chariots of fire surround. You're going to have to see God lift me out of the earth. And when you can see me in my resurrection, you can have my mantle. The Lord's saying, if you can see me in my resurrection, and if you won't let go, I'll send my mantle down upon your generation. Go and strike the waters. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Bam! Every one of those prophets that persecuted him, when that water departed, they knew the mantle of Elijah. He did way more than Elijah ever did. The chariots of fire filled the mountain with him. He could see him. It was glorious. There's a blessing for our generation. When you go to pray, you got to have this in you. I'm like Roscoe with a bone. That's my bone right there. But sometimes in the kingdom, you got to run over. Focus. Now, God graced me with focus. That's one gift he gave me. The ability to focus. When I had laser-like focus, but you can't do it for 3 days. This is our year. Praise God. Let's give God glory.